To help us answer all these questions and more, I'm joined by Dr. Stephen Duckett. He's a health economist at the Grattan Institute. Dr. Duckett, good morning.
Morning.
Now, we're expecting the rollout of two different vaccines, Pfizer and AstraZeneca. How will the rollouts differ between the two?
So the Pfizer vaccine is a harder one to store. That is, the requirements of the vaccine mean it has to be stored at minus 70 degrees. And so that requires specialised equipment. So what's planning is that the state governments will be responsible for the distribution of that vaccine through the public hospital network. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the AstraZeneca vaccine doesn't have to have those same storage requirements, so that can be distributed through GPs and other community settings.
Yeah, right. Now, will this be a matter of Australians being actually able to choose which vaccine they receive? I mean, if for some reason someone would prefer to get the Pfizer shot, can they sort of bide their time, wait and go to a hospital and get that shot instead of a GP?
So in the first instance, I think people are going to be invited to get the vaccine. That is, a priority group is going to be hospital employees. And so the state governments, the public hospitals are going to vaccinate their own employees, vaccinate employees of aged care, residential aged care and so on. So even if you want the Pfizer vaccine, you may not be able to get it. Mm-hmm. You just can't put your hand up and say, can I have it? And then we're going to be vaccinating the general population, starting with basically older people and people who are at higher risk that things go wrong if they get infected. And so I think there are differences in the vaccines in terms of efficacy, and there are differences in the vaccines in terms of how they've been tested. Have they been tested on people with diabetes, for example? Mm. And so that will be all taken into account. The Commonwealth is establishing this national priority register, and that will be used to essentially do the bookings for the GP vaccinations. I'm not entirely sure what the state governments will be doing and how that they will interdigitate with that register.
Right. Now, will there be any long-term difference in which vaccine people receive? So, I mean, we've seen in other countries people get stickers saying I've been vaccinated or whatever it might be. Is in the long run, if you have had the Pfizer shot or the AstraZeneca shot, will there be any differences? Will be asked questions, which shot did you have or whatever?
No, not really. So, the knowledge about the coronavirus is increasing rapidly, how to treat it, how it transmits and so on, and so too with vaccinations. At the moment, what we know is that if you're vaccinated, you've got and you then subsequently become infected, you've got a better chance. You won't be quite as severely ill. You're less likely to die. So it's absolutely about reducing the severity of the symptoms if you're infected. We don't yet know whether it protects you from being infected or infecting others, mm-hmm. and we don't know how long that protection against severity will last. So do you need another shot in 12 months' time? Now, the reason I just went on that diversion is because it may not matter if you have the Pfizer vaccine this year, you're going to need a new vaccination in a year's time, so you might get a new one. It all evens out in the end.
Yeah, right. Okay. And we've seen in a number of countries, particularly the US, there has been sort of issues with vaccine rollouts. There's been wastage and things like that. What are the government doing to prevent issues and wastage and things like that? We've had the time to prepare. We have a smaller population and no community transmissions. Surely we're prepared.
I hope so, but it does, I haven't seen anything in the documentation about attention to this, and it can be huge because we've just saw in the paper yesterday or today that Europe has said, we're not going to allow more export of the Pfizer vaccine. The Pfizer vaccine is manufactured in Europe, and so we're going to have so Australia is at the end of this long supply chain, and so we may not have as much of the Pfizer vaccine as we thought, which means we have to make sure that every skerrick of the vaccine is going to be used. And, what we've seen in the United States are stories that you know, people are categorized into highest priority, category 1A, and then they've used up four of the five doses that are in the single vial. What do they do with the last one? Are they allowed to give the last one to someone who's not in category 1A, or do they just tip it down the sink?
Mm.
So, you know, you can lose, in that example, 20% of your potential. And the other thing that's happened is they've discovered that if you use a different sort of needle, a so-called dead-end needle, you can actually get six or seven doses out of the so-called five-dose vial.
Right.
And so you can actually do better. So we've had no discussion in Australia about how we're going to make sure that we minimise the wastage, and how we make sure that GPs and hospitals are really careful and have an incentive to use every dose that we've got properly.
Mm, something we hopefully can get on top of by February when we start rolling these things out, for sure. Very important.
February's only in a couple of days,
and yeah.
the rollout's supposed to be in a fortnight. So
that's it. All right, a couple more. Do you have any predictions as to when these rollouts will be largely complete and when the majority of the Australian population is vaccinated?
Well, it's really hard. In the UK, they're vaccinating more than 1.5 million people every day.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing is they're doing it in large venues. So when I had my flu vaccine last year, I had it at Melbourne Town Hall, in a large venue. And what they're doing in England, I saw a photo the other day of Salisbury Cathedral has been turned into this huge vaccination centre.
Yep.
So, you know, this is a very different model from asking every local GP to set up. So they're actually gearing up to do a lot and a lot of people quickly, because it's really, really necessary in the UK, because the disease is, you know, I think still 40,000 or so new cases a day. So it's a terrible situation.
Mm.
So here, the government has said we're going to go very quickly, but I've seen no evidence yet that they've actually put the infrastructure in place, that they've done the negotiations, that they've got the venues and so on, that we will be able to do it quickly. So I'm not hopeful that it'll be all done by the end of April or May, which is when the government said it was going to be finished. I think it's going to drift much more into winter, unfortunately.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Lastly, once it gets to winter, once it gets to this point where the bulk of the population are vaccinated, what are things going to look like? Is it just a matter of Australia sort of reopening for business, and apart from things like international travel and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, we don't know yet whether the vaccine will protect us from infection. So it's going to be more of the same. So for most of us, we've gone back to normal life, although I'm mostly working from home still, as I think in Victoria, we've still got limits on who can go back into work. But you know, we are returning to work. The Australian Open is mostly open. I don't think the vaccine is going to fix all of our problems and magically transfer us back to 2019.
Mm.
What I do think is we're going to have to be careful for the foreseeable future, and certainly restrict immigration, you know, people coming into the country, and make them quarantine and so on.
Mm, okay, so yeah, definitely not a return to normal straight away, maybe more so getting used to the new normal, which has been something we've been doing for the last almost a year now, so it's interesting.
Exactly.
All right, that's all we have time for this morning. Dr. Duckett, thank you so much for joining me on 2SER.
Pleasure. Thanks, Steph.